Man of Ruthless Aggression. I'm here. Rob's here. Chris is not here. We wish him all the best. We are beginning the month of June because time keeps on ticking in the future. So we'll talk about Judgment Day 2009, May of 2009, from Chicago, Illinois. First pay-per-view in, like, I want to say 3 years in Chicago, which is wild. But actually, no, two years, because of No Mercy. I forgot about No Mercy. So we'll talk about that in just a bit, and then we'll get around some musings around the Federation and beyond. But, you know, we had Saturday night's main event last week. It was very much a Saturday night's main event. Nothing really necessarily to write home about. Some stories got advanced into this Saturday's Money in the Bank show from Los Angeles. You also got a Worlds Collide that's happening across the street from the Intuit Dome at the Kia Forum. So interesting little setup how they got there. If you're in LA, you kind of know, but like the Kia Forum, which is the old Great Western Forum where the Lakers used to play, that's owned by, I think Ballmer owns it now. He bought it from
MSG. He owns both of them.
So, you know, he continues to hold events at both of them. So you're just going to see folks travel across the street for it. You got a little standoff at the end of the show, and this is, I'm not really feeling it. You know, the fact that you got, you Cena in his last year, you set all the dates that Cena's gonna perform, and you kind of wait, you're wasting this, but then also Cena was on SmackDown this past Friday. You're wasting appearances for him to hang around Logan Paul, and it's just, I don't understand why you're doing it. I'm not necessarily too much of a fan of it, but that's seemingly your main event because Jey Uso has to be in a main event. That's his name, main event Jey Uso. Teaming with Cody to face Cena and Logan Paul. I don't really know if I'm like, I'm not really into it. Like, I guess you got to get Cena to another pay-per-view with the championship. I could care less about this match.
Yeah, I mean, the Logan Paul stuff, like, we've talked about him, I think, since he debuted at this point. Like, you've never really been a fan of him. But, like, especially in the past year or so, the returns haven't really been worth it. Like, I don't remember the last match where, like, it was captivating that he was in. And it's not just because I don't like him and, like, his builds are bad or whatever. It's just you've kind of seen everything he can do at this point. Like, you know, if Bad Bunny had, you know, 25 matches instead of three, we might be feeling the same sort of way, you know? So it's like, Logan Paul doesn't really ever go away and let you kind of miss having him around. Yeah, I mean, as far as the Cena stuff goes, like, obviously, I haven't been a big fan of it. I'm kind of glad they're doing this match now because it clears the way, I guess, for Cena and Cody again at SummerSlam. And I thought they might do, you know, that tag match or this tag match, including Travis Scott, which that part seems to have fallen off, which is good. But yeah, as far as this match goes, like, I don't know. I don't really care either. Like, it kind of feels like a worse version of, you know, Punk and Sammy against Seth and Braun that they did last week. Like, so I get it, like, doing these big kind of all-star tag matches, but now you're just doing them to do them. And, like, I guess it's so the baby faces can get a win here, maybe on like Logan, but like, cause Cena and Logan don't seem to be able to get along and that's kind of the whole story. But like, I don't know. It's just, it's not really worth it. And it doesn't really fit with the rest of this card either. You look at some of the, you know, other matches that we're going to talk about, like there's a lot more kind of interest in a lot of them, I think. And this think one all, should all, have
the
interest.
All the other doesn't. Three matches are announced right now are far more interesting than this just straightaway tag match where you have not only your world heavyweight champion, but your WWE champion. You're not getting a men's main event title match on this card. And with two Money in the Banks and a women's Intercontinental Championship match, I'm wondering how many of the big roster women's titles are going to be on the card, you know?
It doesn't really look like either of them, to be honest, because they didn't really set you up for anything. And nope. Tiffany's just kind of been around the ladder match people.
Like, when are you going to finally get around to Tiffany and Jade? Maybe you do it here. We've been kind of waiting for it. I don't see Nia in on this Money in the Bank ladder match yet, which is kind of interesting. I know there's still a spot open, and doesn't seem like she's shoehorned into that spot, or at least gonna have a match for that spot. Why don't you fucking finally do Tiffany and Nia? Did Nia even get a championship match? She may have gotten one.
I think they did it on SmackDown, but like, yeah, I mean, you know, which is fine. Like, you can do it on SmackDown, but like, you could also go right back to it for the pay-per-view if you want, just kind of get another match on there. So
for me, it's not, because it's like, why did you have Nia go through everybody for half a year last year?
Yeah.
For her to miss the WrestleMania card and for it kind of be a non-factor here as we move into the summer months. It's just, yeah, some of the booking doesn't make any sense to me in what they're doing right now. But, you know, before we go to the other matches, yeah, I'm just not feeling. And it also goes to, again, what we talked about Cena last week. We're not feeling this run. This heel run just feels very ungood. And I'm kind of just ready for it to be over with at this point, unless you're going to give me something magnificent. Like, you're already going back to Cena and Rhodes. When is Cena Punk going to happen? If it's going to happen. You know, like, we're kind of missing the ball on a lot of this run here. And it doesn't even seem like Cena is excited for this run. Jeez Louise. Let's talk about that Women's Intercontinental Championship match. This is being branded as a last chance match. Therefore, if Becky Lynch loses, she can no longer challenge Lyra Valkyria for the Intercontinental Championship. But if Lyra Valkyria loses the championship to Becky Lynch, she will be forced to raise Becky's hand and acknowledge Lynch as the better woman. Very interesting in how it's branded, because I think Becky wins the Intercontinental Championship. I think it does wonders for that belt and establishing that belt to have a Becky Lynch as champion. However, even if Becky wins, I don't see Lyra doing the hand raise. Mm-hmm. Or at least if, you know, she might get to that point and Becky's just gonna beat her ass.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. Like, they're gonna try and do the hand raise, and then that kind of seems like a vehicle for Bayley to come back and kind of break it up or save Lyra or whatever, and then you know, that gets you to Bayley and Becky, which will presumably be like the big Evolution kind of co-main event with whatever, you know, world title match they end up doing. So yeah, I'm gonna go Becky's
expected back, right?
She was on SmackDown because they were in Knoxville. Okay. So like,
oh yeah.
She didn't get physical or anything, so I don't know, like, what the timetable is, but she was there this week. So, maybe? Hopefully? I mean, but yeah, I'm going to go with Becky here.
And then the two Money in the Bank matches, which, before we even get to that, do you remember last episode when we were talking about Money in the Bank and we were talking about King of the Ring and how they're usually two space together, or Money in the Bank so close to SummerSlam, and it would just make them a lot more sense if you really figured out the structure of when the pay-per-views are and how they're run. And we recorded that on Monday, and very interesting thing happened a day or two later, is that WrestleMania apparently is no longer going to be in New Orleans, which is a sucky thing if you're a fan of New Orleans, because New Orleans is great. And the fact that they already announced it is wild to me, that they let it get to this point. They're like, actually, no, we're not doing WrestleMania in New Orleans next year. We still got to figure out a date. We could talk about the date figuring out part in just a bit. But remember when we said, wouldn't it be smart if you moved Money in the Bank to after SummerSlam?
Yep.
Somebody listens to the show is all I'm saying.
Yeah, because that's going to be Labor Day weekend next year, it seems. So, like,
Labor Day weekend, cool. New Orleans. Did they say Superdome, or is it at the...
They didn't announce it, which is strange, because, like, you wouldn't think that would be in the Superdome, but, like... Right,
so close to football season. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you would have to... I mean, it's most likely the dead period between week one and the finale of preseason, but you always have a college game usually that weekend.
Yeah,
in New Orleans. So
yeah, so it'll probably be at Smoothie King, but still, I mean, it's a holiday weekend in New Orleans. It's
the holiday weekend in New Orleans in the first week of college football year. You think, bro, how fun would it be just to go up to Baton Rouge for a tailgate and then go down to New Orleans for WrestleMania? That would be so fun. Oh, anyway, they're listening. Just wanted to point that out. We could talk a little bit more about the WrestleMania part of it in just a bit. But let's start with the women. Right now, you got Alexa Bliss, Roxanne Perez, Rhea Ripley, Julia, Naomi, and the final spot that will be determined on this Monday's Raw, Ivy Nile, Liv Morgan, Stephanie Vaquer. I'm going to go with Stephanie Vaquer. I get Liv should probably win. However, you just moved up Stephanie Vaquer, which I guess we can talk about the call-ups now. You just moved up Stephanie Vaquer to the Monday Night Raw roster. Strap a rocket on her.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it. Do it, Hunter. I'm not saying have her win the match, but put her in the fucking match.
Yeah, no, I definitely think she should be in the match. Liv doesn't really need it. Like, I know, this match needs stars, but Alexa's in there already, Rhea's in there already. Like, Liv's, being in there and then either losing or, winning
Roxanne
it again. Really
probably, Roxanne probably factoring into Liv losing seems the most.
Yes.
Makes the most sense.
Yes. That would make sense. As far as the match itself goes, like, I don't think Alexa's going to win it. Roxanne's tied up with Liv. Julia seems to be going after Zelina, which I think is interesting. That's a really good use of the U.S. title, I think. Mm-hmm. So it kind of leaves Naomi, Rhea, and Stephanie Vaquer, because I think she's going to qualify as well. I don't think she's going to win. I think people will be mad if they just go to Rhea again, but, it is a very easy way to set up, whatever big world title match you want for Evolution from a babyface perspective, because she can just come out on, Monday and be like, hey, we're doing this then. Set that up and you're off. So yeah. I think it's going to be Rhea. Naomi wouldn't surprise me just because she is still kind of factored into everything, but she's still focused a little bit more on Bianca and Jade than the title, it seems, at the moment. So I'm going to go with Rhea.
I think that's exactly what happens. If I had to go with a top three, I think it's Rhea to win Money in the Bank, have that on her resume, and then I'm gonna announce a cash in at Evolution. Naomi would be my number two, because I can totally see Naomi winning Money in the Bank and that being a vehicle to propel her back into the main event picture, whichever point she chooses to cash that in. Hopefully it's not immediately, which is why if they give it to Rhea, at least you got a month. It's not the next fucking day. It's instantly the second longest Money in the Bank reign a woman's ever had. Third would, and it's an outside the box third for it to be Julia, because then it's like, okay, well, she's not winning, U.S. Championship. She's not winning gold anytime soon because she's got Money in the Bank. But I think, Julia, Roxanne would benefit them to have good showings while not winning. Alexa has to, kind of get back into a groove, and we're still trying to figure out what the fuck this is with her and Charlotte and what's going on here.
Yeah.
I like the dichotomy in the match. You got three ladies who have, been in this business, been in this company for, in closer Rhea's part, 10 years. Plus now. So veterans of this division with three young kids and Roxanne and Julia and likely Stephanie Vaquer, who are going to be shepherding this next generation. Like, I don't know. I know how young Roxanne is. Julia's 31. I know Julia was closer in age to me. And I think Stephanie Vaquer is not much younger than this. She's 30. So, they're right in the prime age of, being ready to take over the women's division. And I think that's good. We got some possible good storytelling to come in this match. On the men's side, we got Solo. I love you. LA Knight, Penta, Seth Rollins, Andrade, and one person to be announced that would be in a match on Raw between AJ Styles, El Grande Americano, and my pick, Mr. CM Punk. So I think Punk will be the sixth person, the sixth man in that match. And honestly, I think that if I had to go a 1-2-3, three would be LA Knight. Because I think if there is one person that should win this that could be propelled by Money in the Bank, it's LA Knight.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the two dudes who most likely will win it, and that's either Seth Rollins or CM Punk. The storyline narrative would probably make a lot more sense for whatever they're trying to do within the future if one of those two is holding the briefcase. Especially because they're two dudes who have done it, and they've done it on big stages before.
Yes. Yeah, I actually think it is going to be Seth. I think Punk might get in the match. It wouldn't surprise me if they like take him out and that's how he loses, and like they just throw Chad Gable in there instead. Cause
yeah, there's no DQ.
So they've kind of been making a whole big deal about, oh, Chad Gable might wrestle twice next weekend because he's facing Heel Dave Kingo too. So like that's been kind of a fun thing that they've been alluding to, and it's like, well, yeah, maybe. And then, so I don't know, like, I don't think I'd put Punk in it if he wasn't going to win. So that's kind of what I'm thinking, like with the match on Monday. So yeah, I think I go with Seth. It seems pretty clear that he's going to take the belt from Jey Uso and then probably lose the belt to Punk. But like, you know, that seems like the next step. And obviously he's had it before. It adds to the group. If he has it, it makes him even more kind of dangerous and multi-layered. And they do need to add another layer to the group because it's, again, it like, you know, the Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed thing has been good, but like you need to keep building on that.
Yeah, I want to see where this faction grows, you know, because Seth's obviously your main event guy. You love Braun, but Braun is you know, your future star. And Bronson Reed kind of solves the heavy. But there's something missing within this faction. I really don't know what it is. I don't think it's a tag team. You know, I don't know if throwing a tag team in there that doesn't make sense, because I don't know right now if there's a tag team on the roster that does make sense for that group, or shoehorning someone in the tag with Braun or Bronson. I don't know if that's the wave. So I'm just, maybe it's a woman. Maybe it's the threat of a kick your ass woman in that stable, but I don't know.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I see the fruits. I think it can bloom, but I just don't know how. So we'll see.
Yes.
Let's double back and let's talk about WrestleMania no longer being in New Orleans. This is a big PR fuck up. I feel for WWE. Because, you know, you acknowledge New Orleans a month before WrestleMania this year even happened. You had The Rock come out in New Orleans. He played the Block Is Hot by Lil Wayne before his little introduction. And everybody was going crazy. And he gave that little speech. And now that's been reneged. And, you know, there's the talk, oh, well, we'll just put it back in Las Vegas next year. We made so much money doing it in Las Vegas. Well, there's complications and some possible events that might need to be moved around. And, you know, we don't really know where WrestleMania is going to be. Hell, you can even have it later in the year, put it in Saudi and call it Super WrestleMania. So yeah. First off, let me say this. If it is in Las Vegas, I'm happy. I'm glad. I'm not going. Because I just went last year and spent all the money last year. And I can feel comfortable knowing that I already did Las Vegas last year. And I'm not missing out on a New Orleans this year. As much as I love New Orleans, as much as I would love going, I need a break from WrestleMania.
Yeah,
I'm fucking tired of you, WrestleMania. But like, yeah, I don't know where you go with all of the bad PR that's come out of this. Like, yeah, you can go back to Las Vegas, but now it's just going to be for every city that now signs up for this in the future, the threat of you pulling it is going to be there. You know, if you're in Indianapolis, the threat of you pulling the promised WrestleMania to Indianapolis is there. If you're a Midwestern city and you've been praying for WrestleMania, God forbid, you know, that ends up not happening. So, it's very unfortunate.
Yeah, it does kind of suck. And, like, you know, they owe New Orleans a WrestleMania now. They owe Minneapolis still from when they moved it last time. You know, they owe Indianapolis, like you said. Nashville's been promised one, apparently. So, like,
Chicago's this list gonna is going to get eventually.
Yeah.
You got to go to Atlanta, because haven't you been to Mercedes-Benz Stadium yet?
Exactly.
You know, Miami's so, like, going to get one. Miami, you put the fucking covering over. It's probably a vibe now. You got to go back to Miami. And hey, your home base should probably get a WrestleMania at some point, too, in Orlando. They got a lot of cities that they got to start figuring out where they fall in line. Notice I didn't say Buffalo, because God forbid they're not going to fucking Buffalo. They got to start figuring it out on top of your rotation cities, which... New Orleans is a rotation city, great. Vegas is a rotation city, great. LA is a rotation city, great. Figure out those rotation cities. Figure out the cities that absolutely need it. Oh, and oh, almost forgot. You're really trying to fucking figure out this London shit. they got a problem when it comes to trying to figure out where all these WrestleMania goes. And
yeah, I mean, yeah. It's an issue, man. Like, so I don't know. Like, moving it kind of is what it is, but like moving it back to Vegas is kind of boring. I saw a thing like Vegas wants either like a Super Bowl, WrestleMania, or Final Four every year. They just want to like rotate between the three.
That's certainly going to happen.
Yeah, I think so. Like, and I get it. Like, you know, it draws people out there, and it's a big event, obviously. But like, I don't know. It kind of sucks. Like, from what I heard, like Vegas was fine last year, but like, you know, it was expensive, and that's probably going to happen anywhere now. But like, you know, you do kind of feel bad for the people that were planning to go to New Orleans or had, you know, deposits down or whatever already. Yeah. And a lot of the WrestleCon people already made their deposits and stuff.
Yeah, that's bad, man. Because now people got to figure out how they're going to get that money back. And if they, you know, probably bought in without an out, thinking, oh yeah, no, this is set in stone, WrestleMania, there's no chance of it moving. People getting fucked. So like, stick with WWE, because very interesting movements are happening with one of the couple of companies that they're affiliated with. Obviously, we talked about the World's Collide show they got with AAA, that they now own, and they've been getting deeper and deeper into this TNA partnership. My girlfriend was like, what's TNA's relation with WWE? And I had to like give a soft, you know, it was a rival back then, and then Hulk Hogan fucked it up. Yeah. So, you know, TNA's been in bed with WWE, very much the little brother, very much not really, you know, winning from the side of the agreement. Well, you could say they picked up a win on Sunday. Joe Hendry defended the TNA Championship in the main event of as an NXT Heat Wave, so an NXT pay-per-view special event, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And he lost the TNA Championship in that main event to Trick Williams. So now Trick Williams is the TNA champion. He is the first man to hold both the NXT Championship. I think Drew might have won it. Okay, well, he's the first WWE contracted wrestler to win the TNA World Championship.
There we go.
That works out a lot better. And you're going to see Trick a lot more on TNA programming. It's kind of made me want to get TNA Plus so that I can kind of keep up with TNA and watch all the TNA that I can. This is good for TNA. I can understand if you had reservations. Oh, you know, he's a WWE guy in TNA, and he's beating all the TNA wrestlers. But TNA kind of needs a little rub right now, and I think they're doing it properly.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's the most kind of momentum they've had in the past however many years. Like, it's definitely a thing causing people to want to tune in. Like, and for Trick too, like, you know, he had the NXT title runs, and then it kind of felt like he wasn't quite ready for the main roster yet. So this kind of gives him a different kind of set of people to work with and gives him a little bit more to do to gain some more experience where he gets called up. So like, it's a positive. And I know Slammiversary, they're running like the big arena in Long Island. So like, they need to start filling seats for that. That's got to be a big show.
They're running
so,
UBS? Like,
yeah.
Oh
yeah,
man.
So, you know, having Trick there, that could help. I think he is wrestling Mike Santana coming up. I think that might be the Magic Anniversary as well, because he's been kind of a, since he's gone back to TNA, he's been like a big deal there, and he's from New York, so he might be winning there, and this match Tuesday might just be, you know, to set that up. It's hard to say, but yeah, it is interesting, and it does have me like at least interested in what's going on like with that part of TNA with Trick. And yeah, I mean, I saw They're having Santino and his daughter team up as well. That's pretty exciting. That's a fun thing to do. It's a shame who else is in that match, but
They're giving
whatever.
Robert Stone some love as a TNA original. So like,
Yeah.
you know, you're not just getting the kids that you hope to cut, which is what we were getting previously in TNA. So I personally like it. AEW Nothing was the same day, so counter programming. How do you feel about Mercedes getting the women's championship match at All In against Toni Storm? How do you feel about Hangman Page getting the match against Moxley? Did you like Anarchy in the Arena? All that.
I thought Anarchy in the Arena was a lot of fun. Like those matches, I do kind of tend to every year be like, oh, you know, these are at least interesting. Like, you know, the body stuff was cool. Kenny did some cool shit. You know, the Young Bucks are very unfortunate, but what are you gonna do? As far as yeah, I mean Mercedes winning the O and that kind of felt inevitable. I think Mercedes and Tony's one of the biggest matches they can do right now, not even just women's matches. So I'm kind of fascinated by that. And then I think Hangman beating Ospreay is the right call. I don't think he's going to beat Mox though, and I don't get doing all this
No.
to another babyface just to have him lose to Mox. And like, because everyone gets so worked up, you know, they're convinced that oh, this guy's finally gonna. It still feels like it's going to be Darby since the everything is done now, and you only have. I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of recovery time from that, but you think of, you know, all. Out is in Toronto, and I think like the middle of September, they might just do it there. Like, so I don't know. It's a shame. Like, I'd like to see Hangman just win and end it and, you know, end their big US stadium show on a high note, but I don't trust them to do that until they actually do it.
Like, does this Mox run, is it interesting to you?
It's gotten better, I think, in the past couple months. Like, it's not interesting just because I'm not interested in him like as a wrestler anymore because we've kind of seen it all the past. Because he doesn't take breaks, you know. And I know that was the thing, like, because Punk left and he couldn't take breaks. But like, part of that is by never taking a break, you never went
Body
away, never
breaks
did anything
down.
else, and you know, and like. All the Death Riders are too, is like an offshoot of the Blackpool Combat Club. So he's been doing the same stuff for like 4 years too. And it's just like, you know, it's like if you're still really captivated by like the Bloodline or whatever, it's like, well,
Yeah,
you
like
know.
if maybe this is the bloodline for you, but I don't necessarily understand, you know, what the appeal is right now. It was hot when it started. It doesn't seem hot right now. It seems like it's just boring people out.
Yeah.
So, what is this that I'm seeing that every match on this card, the Every match on this card went longer than 12 minutes 30 seconds. There were
Yeah, it was a
two
long show.
matches that were at least 35 minutes in length. I
Yeah, I
understand you're in
mean.
Arizona, but with an East Coast crowd that's watching on Max, you cannot keep doing these superbly long pay-per-views. You can't keep doing it, Tony. I don't care if it's holiday weekend. It's a lot.
Yeah, that's really my only thing. Like the holiday weekend or the Saturday shows, I
Did
don't
Nigel
mind
McGuinness
it.
really need
But
a 22-minute match?
well, no, that's yeah, that some of them could have definitely been cut down quite a bit.
15 minutes, 15-minute cut down. What are we doing?
Yeah, so I mean, because at that point, you're kind of just doing it just to do it.
Does Mike Bailey really need 16? I understand, like, I'm probably a little bit higher now on Mike Bailey. I've never been a big Mike Bailey fan, but like Mike Bailey and Okada is probably a decent match. But it's also a match you've probably seen before because those two will probably work on the indies a lot. 16 fucking minutes is a lot, Tony. Jesus. All right. Now, let's get back to 2009. Do we got anything before Judgment Day? I know we usually do like movie sports.
We do have some movies and music. It's a pretty quiet month for releases. Kennedy gets cut at the end of May, which that puts that whole thing to an
Yeah,
end.
in case you didn't know, Kennedy dropped Orton. Orton complained. Kennedy had
Yeah.
picked up a lot of priors, and it was probably time to cut that bait. But Orton definitely played a role in it. He definitely did.
Yep. Yeah. We had the 2009 NFL draft. Not really much going on there. The Bears
No.
didn't really have any picks.
Who's number one
They
pick in
traded them all the year
2000?
before.
Oh, Stafford, yeah.
Yeah. That was the year that they got Henry Melton and Johnny Knox.
Who was the number one pick? Did they have? No, they didn't because they traded
for Cutler. They traded for Cutler, and then they traded their second round pick to Seattle for a third and a fourth, which I don't
what understand. What fucking sense does that make, Jerry Angelo? You fucking idiot. Sorry, I'm trying to go to the picks here so I can see. Jason Smith, bum. Tyson Jackson, bum. Aaron Curry, bum. Mark Sanchez was actually good for the first couple years and then bum. Andre Smith, bum. Darius Hayward Bay, your seventh overall pick to the Oakland Raiders. What yeah. the fuck? Eugene Monroe, bum. BJ Raji, actually really good, but just he's fat. Michael Crabtree, sorry receiver. Aaron Maben, No Sean Moreno, Brian Arakpo. You get to Malcolm Jenkins and Brian Cushing and Brian Arakpo and Nick. Yeah, finally some players. But Lord, this first round is bad.
Yeah, it's That's not great. Wild.
Oh, by the way, your 35th pick in the draft by the St. Louis Rams, James Laurinaitis, the son of Road Warrior Animal. Never, I was always surprised. I thought that Laurinaitis was due for a potential run. As a pro wrestler when his career ended, and he just kept playing football, and now he's a linebackers coach for Ohio State. So,
yeah, good for him.
Good for him. Good for him.
Okay. May 2009, your top 10 movies. At 10, Dance Flick. At 9, 17 Again. At 8, Obsessed. 7, Ghost of Girlfriend's Past. 6, Up. 5, Terminator Salvation. 4, Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian. 3, Angels and Demons. 2, X-Men Origins, Wolverine. And 1, Star Trek.
Not a great month. I forgot our Star Trek came out. The reboot was 2009.
Yeah. So,
wild. Wolverine is a god-awful fucking movie. Like,
yeah.
Good fucking. They almost pissed away a Ryan Reynolds, Wade Wilson with this movie. Mm-hmm. Fucking Fox. Okay.
Your top 5 songs for the majority of the month, Right Round, Blame It, Day and Night, Poker Face, and Boom Boom Pow.
Yeah, those all sound like my junior, the summer before my senior year of high school.
Fucking all Boom right. Boom
Pow. Oh, God.
Judgment Day 2009 from the Rosemont Horizon in Rosemont, the site of the first Judgment Day as well, and this is the final Judgment Day.
Yeah, how about that? First Judgment Day and last Judgment Day at the Rosemont Horizon. I went into this Judgment Day. This was my first WWE pay-per-view.
Hell yeah.
It was Judgment Day 2009. I was very stoked. Me and my dad went. It was a nice little... a beautiful spring day in Chicago, and you know, if because you're closer to Northwest, so like you can easily just drive there.
Yeah,
you know, we down in the South Side got to make the long trek to the Rosemont Horizon that can take a very long time. So you know, you take the red line to the blue line, you do that nasty ass interchange at Jackson, you get on to the blue line, you take it all the way, not all the way to O'Hare, because right by O'Hare yeah. there's a stop in fucking Rosemont, and then yeah. you gotta wait on the pace bus. The bus
over there.
You yep. take the pace bus over with all these sweaty, smelly neckbeard of fans, and you get off, and across the street there's a Target, and there's a Culver's, and you go and you just fucking shop and eat, and then go across the street and go watch wrestling. And yeah, thank God thank God the trains run late, because holy shit. This was a fun show to be at, from what I remembered. It was not a good show, but I mean, you know, it's Chicago, a pay-per-view. You know, the crowd for a Chicago pay-per-view is generally going to be an interested mm-hmm. one. It's hard to really break them down and give them something boring. And this is going to sound bad for what I'm saying now, but in context of 2009, it's completely understandable. Thank God yeah. that they did not have a women's match on this card.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
The era of women's wrestling in 2009 was very conducive to snoring. And I mean that in the nicest of ways. It wasn't the women that was performing, it's the way that they were presented. And, you know, I mean, yeah, there's a couple of wrestlers on this card. You got a Jack Swagger and, you know, a couple John Cena, Big Show, whatever. But, like, most of them are people that you wanted to see. I could say they're of these 7 matches, there's somebody on this card that I wanted to see in each one of these matches. And, you know, the crowd was there, and they feel like they reflected that.
Yeah, and I mean, just as a company, like the women for the first few years of the PG era, they didn't really know what to do with them because
they knew what to do with them. They knew what to do with them. Well, dark match, baby.
Yeah.
Show kickoff, Mickey James and Beth Phoenix.
All right, so we open with CM Punk against Umaga. Kind of a big spot for CM Punk. He has Bears gear, which I thought was pretty cool. I don't think he actually cares about the Bears, but you know. He likes the Cubs, he likes the Blackhawks. I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Which fair.
Yeah. The one's asking you to love the world, Punk. I get it.
Punk was going to cash in a couple weeks ago on Edge, but Umaga attacked him, and then they've been feuding ever since then. So this match gets underway. Punk kind of gets overpowered the whole time. Then gets a little bit of hope in after a dive, and then just gets overpowered again and loses on a Samoan Spike. So he's lost to Kane and Umaga since winning the Money in the Bank briefcase.
So he lost this match, and it was okay. Like, it's fine. Because everyone knows what's going to happen at the end of the night, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, everyone thinks they know what's going to happen at the end of the night. And it was like, you know, okay, well, Punk lost, but he still got Money in the Bank. And, he, you know, he probably cashed that bitch at the end of the night, right? Well, let's continue on.
Chavo tells Vicky and Big Show that Cena's cleared tonight, so Big Show's match with Cena is on. Big Show says they've already lost Triple H to injury, and tonight they're going to lose Cena as well.
That sucks.
Edge comes in, and he has something to say to Vicky, but they cut away before we find out what it is. I can't believe they're still doing this Edge and Vicky and Chavo stuff, man.
They way too fucking long. Went way too fucking long.
Up next, we got Christian defending the ECW title against Jack Swagger. And just like at Backlash, you know, another really nice match between these two. This is like the one guy that Jack Swagger could work well against. And, you know, credit to Christian, really. He's very good. But yeah, another solid match. Christian retains and
crowd keeps rolling. Christian. It was appropriate. Tony, listen up. It was the appropriate amount of length for that match. 9 minutes, 33 seconds. It was in and out. They knew what they needed to do.
Yeah.
And crowd loved Christian. So. Although I hate that theme. I will never like that theme. Like, you had a good one. I know you switched it up because he's a baby face now, but like, come on.
Yeah, I know. They show some shots of downtown Chicago, which is not in Rosemont.
No. This is like the WrestleMania 35 equivalent of, hey, look, we're in New York.
They show Greg Olsen and other various Chicago Bears enjoying the show in the crowd. Oh, so it's exciting.
Greg Olsen, protect my boy, Greg Olsen. God, if I could go back in time, I won't say that's my interstellar moment. My interstellar moment is in April of 2012. If you don't know, you should know. But from a Bears perspective, one of my many interstellar moments is going back in time and telling Lovie Smith, hey, you don't want Mike Martson in this locker room. You don't want Mike Martson in this coaching staff. Oh, he's going to trade a future Hall of Fame tight end? No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Really set everything back, too, because like Cutler wasn't good until
he got Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, exactly. Crazy.
He has a safety net of a tight end, and he's finally good again. What the fucking odds?
And then their defense just gave up.
God, fucking L.
So we move into John Morrison against Shelton Benjamin, and that's kind of the first big match of John Morrison's singles run. Shelton Benjamin is with Charlie Haas again, so it does make you wonder why they couldn't just do that against Miz and Morrison and then maybe split up Miz and Morrison, but, you know. Yeah,
they definitely rushed it. You know, I'll stick to the match with this. I think the crowd loves the both of them.
Yeah, you know, they were very hot for both of them. And they're both doing cool stuff. I mean, no one had really...
Oh, the move on the outside by Morrison? That was cold. Yeah. That was so cold.
Yeah, I mean, you could really, like, see what they saw in Morrison. I've never been a big fan, but, like, you can see it here. And he gets the win with Starship Pain, and, like, his singles run is off. And, you know, Shelton's kind of just hanging on at this point, which is a shame, too, because in another world, he could have been kind of a big player still at this point.
I thought he had some with the gold standard stuff, you know, and you know, it's unfortunate that they, you know, focus too much on the fact that he can't talk instead of just giving him someone who can talk. Like, yeah. They're so adamant about not having managers around this time. But, hey, look, there's Charlie Haas on the side of his man's on the outside. Like, no one on this card really has a manager. They're just, like, they're shoehorned in with another wrestler to be by their side.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys suffered during this period because of that.
All right. So Miz comes out. He calls Morrison the Jannetty of their team. He's challenging John Cena because that was his bit. He was challenging John Cena, but Cena wasn't answering the challenges, so he'd win by, like, count out or whatever.
I remember this.
Yeah. But he knows Cena's a match tonight, so he's not going to answer the challenge again. But Miz is going to challenge someone as a substitute for Cena. Cena's overrated and disappointing like the Chicago Cubs. And Miz sees Alfonso Soriano in the crowd.
Which before you get into what happened, if you know a Chicago WWE crowd, you know that at maximum 30% of those fans were cheering for the Cubs.
Yeah.
So there's a big roar. And it is funny because it's like you can tell when every Mexican Sox fan is at a wrestling show. If you mention, if they mention the Cubs, they are the loudest fucking people that I say with all the love in the world. You guys, I love you. You are loud as fuck when it's time to hate the Cubs. You're so fucking loud.
Yeah, so Miz sees Alfonso Soriano and challenges him to a match, but then he says that it would be better for him to get his yearly injury on the field instead of off the field, which
burn.
Felt uncalled for.
Very, very burned. Hey, Soriano doesn't get the credit that he deserves. He was a really good, consistent Cub.
He was good. I mean, he had the big contract, and everyone used that against him. But, like, he was, especially in 2008, like, was what they signed him for, pretty much. And, I mean, it went to shit, obviously. But, like, he was MVP good for most of that year.
Hey, it didn't go to shit because of him.
No.
I'll always stand on that hill.
So after like 10 minutes of this, Santino comes out and says he's gonna stand up for his fellow Italian.
Huge fucking cheers, by the way.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah. Pop.
Yeah, to stand up for his fellow Italian, Alfonso Soriano. So Santino and Miz kind of get into it and they do the yay boo thing with the punches and stuff, and then Miz just hits the Skull Country finale and leaves. And I kind of thought like Soriano would get involved maybe at some point, or at least Santino would stand tall and then get him in the ring and raise his hand or something, but yeah. Miz just kind of went over here.
Yeah, it's weird. I know, it was very weird, but I you know, they're trying to get Miz over, so whatever.
Yeah. All right, up next, Chris Jericho, Rey Mysterio. Now, I've never seen this match. I knew it was going to be good. Like, you guys have talked a lot about this feud. Apparently over the summer it gets even better. Yeah, maybe it is just because like of what the rest of the show looks like, but this match is incredible, man. Like, it's basically all about Jericho's thing that he picks is like, he's not going to let Ray hit the 619 on him. So he gets all these counters going and like all kinds of crazy stuff. And then Ray finally does it like around the turnbuckle instead and gets the win that way. And they only get like 11 minutes or whatever, but it's so good. And they just keep going the whole time. Just two guys who, you know, clearly have been in there with each other a bunch and also just know how to have a good wrestling match.
They had it. And again, it gets better. You don't think it can get better. It gets better. The trilogy they have over the summer is, you know, from two main event guys who have won the championship and are now, you know, back to battling in the mid card, they kind of set the standard of what that role is supposed to look like with this trilogy. And it's such a hot match. You know, everyone loves Rey Mysterio, and Chris Jericho can, even though you love him, can make you boo the fuck out of him and make you want to see him just, you know, see an ultimate defeat. And yeah, crowd was great for it. The two of them worked their ass off. They told a great story and they held off on what's to come with the mask, which becomes an even better story. Chris Jericho's obsession with, you know, getting Rey Mysterio's mask and unmasking Rey Mysterio and eventually getting the championship. It's so good. So yeah, appropriate in where they had it because it wasn't overshadowed. I think the final three matches have six guys that are all just megastars. And so instead of kind of shoehorning them in between those six, you know, have them, you know, be the match leading in, because one of those matches is going to be boring as hell. Maybe two of them.
All right. Up next, Randy Orton Batista for the WWE Championship. It's really unfortunate to watch Batista in 2009.
Yep.
Because, like, he's got nothing left. And again, obviously, it all works out for him. He's fine. Like, you know, he's had a tremendous career after wrestling, but just nothing going on here. They get some time, I think like 15 minutes. It's not very good. Orton ends up hitting the ref to get disqualified. So, you know, kind of does the cowardly heel stuff. And yeah, I mean, Batista just can't really go anymore. And after the match, you know, Cody and Ted come out to kind of take down Batista. And then Ric Flair comes out to help Batista, and he takes out Cody and Ted. And then Batista bomb on Orton and Spinebuster on Ted. And, you know, everyone gets to do their stuff. And Batista and Flair stand tall. So whatever. You know, nice for the fans, but yeah, not a very
match. Thank God this wasn't a main event for all of those reasons. I, you know, now that we have the benefit of watching these back, I get to see, I get to really notice and pay attention to how bad Batista looked in 2009 and how, you know, the injuries really zapped a lot out of him. You know, you have him there for name value alone, but, you know, he's probably there because you needed Triple H to take that time off, and he's there early, and he's trying to work a championship match. It's a 14, 15-minute fucking championship match that's going to end in a fuck finish. It probably did not need to be that long if the goal was to have it end in a fuck finish.
But, yeah,
you know, thumbs the brakes, I guess, and hey, the crowd got, we got to woo. I think it's the one time I've seen Ric Flair, I feel like, maybe. I don't think he was there in WCW when I went to Nitro all those years ago, but, you know, it was cool to see Flair. Crowd popped like hell for Flair. Crowd was happy to see both, you know, all these guys, to be honest with you. Crowd was happy to see all of them.
Absolutely. So we move on. John Cena against the Big Show. Story here, obviously, is that Big Show threw Cena through the big light thing, and Cena's not 100%, but he's cleared to go tonight. How is he going to overcome the odds and beat the Big Show? Turns out very easily. He just hits an attitude adjustment and beats him.
Bam.
So, you know, I mean, it was impressive, obviously, every time they did the whole O scene. Every time he did that to Big Show in general was impressive, just because of getting a guy up there like that, even if he's helping you, is nuts. I don't know. Like, it's not a very good match, but it finishes the little story they were telling, and I'm sure Cena will be back around the title picture now.
I'm so sorry, I missed it. What was that?
No, it was just talking about how Big Show and Cena, just it was kind of whatever, but they wrapped up the story that they kind of started with the Last Man Standing stuff, and, you know, even going back to WrestleMania, and now Cena can go do something else.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah, he just...
He actually, I think they wrestle again at Extreme Rules, but...
Yeah, it's... I get very bored by Cena and Show. I was never a big Cena versus Show guy. You know, Vince wanted so badly to have his big hero, his big champion, look strong against the most monstrous foes. But Big Show, at this point in his career, is not that. You know, we've seen enough of Big Show to know what Show is. And I don't think scary, spooky heel, not spooky, but scary heel, you know, as big as he is one of them. And so it's just, we know Cena can vanquish him. It was never a fucking great feat when Cena vanquishes the Big Show for the seventh time. You know, and plus his relationship with Chicago is so polarizing at this time. Like, people are fucking tired of him. But at the same time, no one wants to see Big Show either. Mm-hmm. Was this maybe the plan? To get Cena cheered in Chicago by having him face someone that they want to see less than him? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it was where it was supposed to be, right before the main event.
He did celebrate with Alfonso Storiano after, which was cool.
He did. He did. And in a couple years, he's going to compromise Osama bin Laden. good job, John Cena.
All right. Time for the main event, Edge and Jeff Hardy. A lot of history there, obviously. Crowd loves Jeff. How's it going to play out for them? Let's see. Well, I mean, not good. I think you already know how it's going to go, unfortunately.
I will say, crowd is expecting one of two things. You're expecting a Jeff Hardy win and a big Jeff Hardy celebration, or you're expecting at some point during or after this match, CM Punk comes down, cashes in Money in the Bank, wins the World Heavyweight Championship in his hometown of Chicago, cheers, adulation, crying, applause. Great way to end Judgment Day.
Okay, but instead, you could have Matt Hardy coming out and costing Jeff again and helping Edge win the title, basically, which, you know, doesn't make sense for a lot of reasons, as we've talked about. You know, hitting him with his cast, and then, you know, Edge getting the upper hand from there and winning, and the show just ending like that.
But why?
Well, the heat, you know.
Why is wrestling 2009 so bad?
That's the thing, like, this show isn't bad.
It's
like,
not
the,
a bad show. It's just
a lot of the work
ending
is good. It just, it's also stupid.
So dumb. It appeases one man, and it's all so dumb. Yeah, no one enjoyed this. Everyone was like, what the fuck is this? And I mean, hey, Edge winning, retaining the title, cool, fine, it's whatever, but why the fuck is Matt Hardy still here? You won the match. You won. Yeah. You won that god-awful fucking match, and we're still here doing this. Lord, have mercy.
It's just dumb.
Yeah, and then for what happens with Punk, what happened with both of them? For Hardy to win in TLC, and then for Punk to cash it in, spoiler alert for next month, that was so fucking sour. I was so mad. You could have did that shit at Judgment Day. Don't lie to me. Anyway. That's Judgment Day 2009. This has been Ruthless Aggression. We appreciate you so much for hanging around with us to start the month of June. Chris will hopefully be back with us next time we meet, and we'll talk about the month of June, and we'll talk about it's One Night Stand, right?
Extreme Rules.
They're still calling it Extreme Rules. It's not One Night Stand yet, but we'll talk about Extreme Rules. We'll talk about the upcoming Money in the Bank show, where we go from there. We'll do it all on the next edition of Ruthless Aggression, man. Chime in with the Barbershear, everything with the doing, all the baseball content, all the upcoming football content, First Black Champ, Shirtless Plantain show, Champions League just wrapped up, man. Congratulations to PSG. FIFA Club World Cup is in the United States this year. There's matches all over the country, so if you're checking out some football, tune into the Shirtless Plantain show for all you need. And yeah, man, continue to support the Barbershear as we come into the month of June. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Ruthless Aggression. For Rob, I am Pierce. We'll see you later.